Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Action, adventure, fantasy, all that, and a really good story, an Oedipus Divine Wind from Howard O.A. Jones. Cardia, one of the many continents in the realm of Oedipus, has remained relatively peaceful after 300 years of war, a war to conquer the land started by the godlike beings called the Divines. Through unimaginable pain and suffering, peace had been achieved, though only for a little more than a century. Now, as corrupt kings and religious struggles arise, one boy, whose path was set to conquer Cardia, rebels against the ideals of his people. He forges his way across the land, coming at odds with many trials. Will he and his band of friends change the fate of Oedipus as well as their own? Or will they simply follow the path that was laid out for them? Howard grew up in the U.S. Virgin Islands, began writing and drawing at an early age, experiments in all forms of fiction, be it sci-fi, Asian fantasy, even steampunk. Howard O.A. Jones, author of Oedipus Divine Wind, with us on the program, coming to us from the U.S. Virgin Islands. Howard, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
It is my pleasure, and you've got such an imagination. I'm excited to talk to you about this world that you've created in the book Oedipus. Talk about the inspiration for the book and creating this world that you've created.
Probably one of the most, the chiefest inspirations for the book is kind of history in itself, because to some degree, I'm kind of like a history of, I really like history and all the little weird stuff that can go on in history. Not just the big things, but the little things. And as well as, I do have, of course, fictional inspirations too. Everyone can say, any fantasy author basically has to say that Lord of the Rings is some kind of way, some degree of an inspiration to you. You can't avoid it or hide it at that point. And as well as, one of my big ones for this book would be John Flanagan's Ranger's Apprentice, who was one of my favorite fantasy writers.
Well, talk about some of the favorites and those that had an impression on you. And obviously at an early age, if you had a famous writer that you could talk to and share thoughts with, who would that be?
Well, yeah, it would mainly just be John Flanagan, kind of. Yes. His style really influenced me in the fact that he had fantasy, but it wasn't particularly high fantasy, which is something I never at that point in time, I had never experienced. So he kind of had this more realistic, grounded degree of writing, but it still had fantastical elements. And that kind of realism kind of made the fantastic elements even more amazing to some degree.
Talk about this fascination with reading, and then we'll talk about the conversion of that into writing. I get the impression at an early age you were an avid reader.
Yeah, just about early on, Yeah, I read a lot when I finally learned to read, and once it taught me how to write, it was kind of just game over from there.
That started a whole new road for you to go down with your talent. Writing is something that you do so well, and you've got other hobbies as well. What are some of the hobbies that you have?
Well, back home, I've mainly enjoyed stuff like sports, like fencing. I also do gaming. Writing, of course, is number one hobby. Gardening, other stuff. For someone my age, it's kind of weird, but it's stuff I like. I'm kind of low speed.
Well, yeah, it's interesting and sort of an eclectic group of hobbies that you have and interests that you have. With us on the program is Howard O.A. Jones. He's the author of the book Oedipus, that's Oedafos, Divine Wind. You can find the book wherever books are sold. You can link on directly to the Amazon link by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Let's talk about the book in particular. I mentioned this world that you've created there. As you're developing characters, are there characters that stand out to you? I mean, you obviously develop them. You design these characters. Are there some that you're really attached to as you're writing the book?
Yeah, probably the one that I somehow grew attached to, surprised me, was one of the main characters was her name's Akina, and she was the daughter of the chief of her country. And, throughout her story, it's she mainly kind of sticks back, stays in the shadow behind her much older sisters and other characters. She mainly stands behind them. And eventually she has to become the position where she has to be a new chief. And it kind of was really cool and just fun throughout all the books, just watching her just grow into being, I guess you could say almost a queen to some degree.
You know, talk about developing the characters. When you started off writing this book, did you do an outline with the characters and then develop these characters, or did you, as you were writing, sort of introduce characters as you felt the story demanded?
Yeah, it was something more of like introducing them, because with Edaphos, compared to like some other stuff I've written, I kind of wrote that one like fully winging it. Like I was like, I won, like it was almost like a challenge to myself to see, you know, or what could I do if I just at will tried to create like a big fantasy story. And everything kind of just developed organically, the characters developed organically. Like maybe I might have thrown a challenge or two for the sake of growth and stuff like that, but everyone kind of grew in directions that kind of made sense, I guess you could say.
What started first? You've got the world that you've created, you've got the plot, you've got the characters. Did it start off with a general conception, maybe, of the world that you would like to follow? Well, how did the whole story begin? What comes first, I guess, the world that you're developing, the characters, or the plot?
Well, for this one story, it was mainly the world. Like, and it was kind of like funny how it began, because it was an exercise I saw like another couple writers did. And basically what I did was, like, I basically took like a blank piece of paper. I put dots on it, and I put rivers, trees, mountains, and stuff like that. And I just basically like developed like the world around that. And I said, this place is like this. This culture is like this. It's languages, everything. I basically built the world from the literal just ground up. And then my characters basically live in that world. And they kind of, that helps it to kind of like grow it organically, because now this world's there. It doesn't feel like just because your character here, now it exists, you know? It feels like your character's part of the world. They live in the world because, you know, they're supposed to, naturally they are. So, you know, it helps to kind of grow. No, naturally, that's how I did it.
How long did it take you from beginning, where you have the concept, to that final draft where you thought, okay, this book is ready for publication now? How long a period was that?
Well, I wrote the book, I believe, in like roughly a bit less than a year. And I was spent some months proofreading it. But when it comes to the actual process of creating the world, it probably was maybe like a few months before that, like, I was designing it for a while before it actually like came together and even decided, because I even sort of planned to publish it or anything when I made it. It was just me just writing, because that's the thing I used to always do.
It's interesting. The book is Edaphos, Divine Wind. Howard O.A. Jones is our guest on the program, the author. In talking about the book, there's so many elements that go into writing the book. Talk about the dialogue. Once you've created the characters, talk about the dialogue and the challenges of the dialogue moving the story along, but not getting bogged down in too much dialogue. How did that work out for you, the right mix?
Well, for me, it kind of just goes on like kind of like real-life conversations, because, you know, yes. In real-life conversations, you know, it's usually like a back and forth. It's not like someone's going to be monologuing forever unless, of course, the situation demands, like, leader talking to his troops and stuff like that, then you might see a degree of that. I, in my time in like the army, like training, I've experienced that. It's not the most fun type of dialogue to have. Someone's been, your sergeant's been talking for like the past hour, and you're standing in the sun. But yes. It's kind of like a similar organic growth. It became much trickier later on down the line in some of the other books, because in this first book, it takes place in the northern half of the continent of Cardia. And in the northern part of the continent, like the one major kingdom, Dino, their culture has been like dominant for many years, so their language is mostly what's been spoken. In the southern continent, they have a separate language, and it became a challenge doing dialogue later on when you have different groups of characters that only speak certain language as well, because I had to account for that, you know.
You mentioned this book is one in a series. Talk about that. How many books do you plan on doing, sort of sequel continuing the saga?
Well, so far I've done Divine Wind, which is this book, and then Iron Will is the second book that's been published a few years back. And I'm currently working on the next book, which will be Black Blood. And after that, I plan for Obsidian Wall. Like, there's going to be several books in this series, like maybe like four, maybe five books in the series. But it's all kind of like part of, let's describe it. In a degree, you know how Marvel and DC have their own massive universe with everyone?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, it's something similar with my stories. Like, most of my stories all belong to a similar, like one universe, basically. Many different things happening in that one universe, you know? It's kind of just like on a bigger scale. And Edaphos is just one of the many places where things are just happening, you know, and become relevant later on.
When you started this first book, did you know this was going to be the one in a series, or did this evolve as you were telling the story? You realized that creatively, I got a lot here that I can talk about.
Yeah, kind of like it became like that. Like, I was figuring it's like this has so much places it can go on.
Yes.
Like, I have my cousin, he kind of helped me bounce off different ideas, and like, you know, I've developed like all kinds of different like little niche aspects of the universe. Just some of it might not even make it into books. I just do some of it for fun. Sometimes it might help with context of other things. Because like in the third book that I'm working on now, there are so much people with like such deep backstories. I'm basically like developing them almost in their own stories on the side, and then putting them into the story and stuff like that.
The benefits of being an author, you're in control of where you're going to take the characters in your yeah. world. Howard O.A. Jones with us on the program. Edifice Divine Wind is the name of the book. I talked about the home life growing up in the Virgin Islands. Does your home have any influences on the story you wrote, and what are the plans for the future?
Well, mainly in terms of like plans for the future, kind of. I do have another series I'm working on kind of in tandem with Edafos, and I've been working on it for like, I spent kind of most of my time in the army, like developing that stuff. It was basically going to be based around my island of St. Thomas. And it's also similarly going to be a fantasy action adventure book. But it's something it's ongoing development. I've been developing the world and stuff like that too. But it's mainly going to be like a book more targeted to like children and the family, kind of, but with heavy influences on the islands about its culture and, you know, its West African roots and all that stuff. Because here it's very big on like our roots, kind of.
Yes. What are your favorite genres? I mentioned that you sort of cross genre when you're doing your writing. What are some of the favorites that you enjoy to read and to write?
Shoot. I mean, to write, I've just generally never been able to avoid the action adventure thing. Like, I've always, somehow those two always work well together to me. And the action doesn't even have to actually be violence per se in terms of action, but I've always enjoyed watching that group of characters, that group of friends go off on some really crazy, stupid adventure, having to figure out how to get through it, pull through, and sometimes finesse the system, beat the game, and get through it all sometimes. You know, there's something fun to the regular hero's journey, even though it's been done a thousand times. There's always just something I enjoy about the hero's journey.
In writing fantasy, is that something you really enjoy? Is that your favorite mode of writing, your favorite genre, is the fantasy? You're obviously very creative, and I get the impression with the enthusiasm, the passion, you enjoy creating these fictional worlds that you're sharing with us. Is that your favorite?
I suppose I would say so, kind of. Like, it's been something that I don't know if I could really nail it down as to why specifically, but I've just always liked, to some degree, the freedom and also to the constraints that you can create to make stuff come together. Because sometimes people talk about fantasy as being, oh, you can write anything. But sometimes the trick is when you give yourself specific constraints within that universe, you know, like how you could say, oh, we have magic, but magic has specific rules. Now to see how your characters work within those rules to make something really creative and really interesting, kind of. There's like a lot of brain work, I guess you could say, involved in fantasy, depending on the kind of fantasy you're doing.
Well, yeah, and I would think that would have to be done ahead of time. As you're sitting and you're conceptualizing what you're going to do, do you set those constraints there? Because, yeah, you could go all over the place, but what you do makes sense. It's easy for us to follow because it's logical. It does make sense. Is that something you do in the beginning, that, okay, this is the world, these are the characters, these are the parameters that they're going to be living in?
Yeah, that's usually that's one of the things, like, because when I develop a power system, one of the pitfalls I've always seen happen to a lot of writers sometimes is that, oh, they'll have that one villain who he can shoot fireballs out of his hands. If he looks at you, you disintegrate instantaneously.
Yes.
When he stomps on the ground, he wipes out continents. And now you have to find some kind of contrived reason to beat him, because the most magic your character has is to turn on a light bulb if he blinks or something, you know? Like, sometimes when you make the magic is too open-ended, it can kind of be a detriment to what you're writing sometimes. Though, likewise, putting too much rules can kind of constrain your stuff to, you know, you can only do this or you can only do that, you know? it can be, it's a tricky balance to hit. But once you hit it, you have this really cool system that allows the reader to also be like, oh, I understand how they did it. It's like almost like watching a chess game sometimes, you know? You know, chess has these specific rules, and when someone does something amazing within those rules, it's like, you know, amazing. It's kind of similar with that in writing. When your character, you know, he does this because this is a rule in magic and he, you know, does something cool or something. And the reader understands why, it's even more amazing because it's like, oh, my favorite character is so smart, my favorite character is so finesse, you know?
You know, it's interesting, and just a couple minutes left in the program. It's going by way too quickly. You've said that a writer can only get better as he writes, be it to please themselves or those around them. It's almost like you were born to be a writer. It's nice if people read this, but I get the impression you enjoy the writing process yourself.
Yeah, it's like I have to write, honestly. Like I just have to. Like when I was in the States and for the training and stuff like that, I had a little book that I've kept in wind, rain, cold, wet, everything. And I just used to like write little notes and stuff like that about like the story I was working on for St. Thomas. In part because it helped me remind me of home while I was up there. But also too, it kinda like I can't help it. Like if I don't write stuff down, I'm gonna go crazy. It's gonna be stuck in my head like bees just buzzing around. I have to write it down.
Well, Howard can't help himself, and we as readers will all benefit from this. Howard O.A. Jones, our guest on the program. The book is Edifice, E-D-A-F-O-S, Divine Wind. You'll find the book available wherever books are sold, and you can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Howard, a pleasure having you on the program. Looking forward to future conversations. Looking forward to more books coming out. Thank you for taking the time to be with us on the program today.
All right. Thank you for having me.
It is our pleasure. Howard O.A. Jones. The book is Edifice, Divine Wind. You'll find information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.